Welcome to Safety Culture Excellence. This week's topic, who really owns safety? My name is Sean Galloway, and I'm proud to be your host. Hello, everyone. Recording this while in Bethesda, Maryland. For the topic this week, I'd like to share an article that I wrote and was published in the August 2013 edition of ISHN Magazine. If you'd like access to the print version of this or any of our other insights, articles, and podcasts and videos, please visit our website at proactsafety.com. So without further delay, here we go. Who Really Owns Safety? By Sean M. Galloway. If safety is more important than production, why does safety report up through legal, human resources, or production rather than production reporting up through the company's number one priority? If safety is so important, how many CEOs came from the safety department? Safety is a core value, and most organizations employ safety managers. But if trust and honesty are also common corporate values, where are the trust and honesty managers? The answer lies with the uncomfortable truth. Reality. Not intending to sound flippant and recognizing the importance of process, passion, and the technical and legal reasons for safety professionals, who owns safety is an important issue to be analyzed if excellence is the goal. Delegating responsibilities to individuals to drive improvement is logical and arguably necessary for any corporate executive. However, for safety to truly become infused in company decisions and behaviors, it cannot be delegated nor managed by a corporate entity. When companies delegate responsibility to the subject professionals to drive improvement without a balance and measurement of contributed value, risks are encountered due to the obvious need to prove value and ensure employment stability. In Are CEOs Getting the Best from Corporate Function?, Campbell, Kunich, and Mueller-Stevens write, without sufficient guidance, corporate functions can become often unintentional, self-serving. Instead of developing policies and processes to give divisions the practical support they want and need, corporate functions measure themselves against industry-wide best practices or implement initiatives that increase their influence or simplify their own work. The result is often a lack of cooperation from operating managers. While a bit of harsh commentary on our outsourced function, there is an often observed truth. Safety professionals tend to measure themselves against the practices of what is perceived as great by other safety leaders, programs, methodologies, or cultures, rather than what is great or perceived as excellent by the individual company they support. What is best in industry and safety will be different for each company based on the practicality of how needs fit with the reality of operations, budget, constraint, and corporate strategy. This should be determined by business with advice from the safety professionals, not the other way around. Safety improvement is business improvement. Moreover, like with any area of desired operational excellence, safety is only an aspect of your culture. It is not a standalone concept. While it is normal to tease out these aspects to better understand, measure, and improve them, we must realize when we focus on one part, safety culture, we often miss the forest for the trees, the role safety plays in, and is affected by, corporate culture. A company's entire culture, more than the aggregate safety beliefs and behaviors, influences the decisions and operational priorities, perceptions, and behaviors. Consider a frequently requested topic, such as providing safety leadership skills, like performance feedback, coaching, counseling, accountability, communication, change agent capabilities, to supervisory levels. Is this safety leadership opportunity only benefiting safety or all aspects of business? How much more support would be obtained if skills like these were viewed to be universally beneficial rather than how to help one piece of operational performance advance? In a recent article on why culture change efforts fail more often than not, Fred Kaufman writes about his lessons learned attempting to change a culture sponsored by the wrong individuals, aligned with the wrong goals, and focused on activities rather than measurable business results. Most importantly, for the purpose of this article, was Kaufman's lesson in sponsoring by a group, the corporate university, tasked with culture improvement rather than the business leaders. He writes, "This created the perception that the CEO ran the business while the corporate university ran the culture." He elaborates, "People felt pushed to attend activities that they saw as not as part of their jobs. Culture became an additional thing to do as opposed to the way to do everything." Safety culture change or any improvement in safety leadership, like operational leaders, safety roles, responsibilities, and expected results, that is led by the safety department potentially sends a message that safety owns the safety aspect of the culture and the business leaders own the business. Doesn't this further silo rather than integrate safety responsibility? It is a wonderful statement and a bit of cliche to say that safety is everyone's responsibility. It has lost its meaning because most organizations have not effectively outlined the aforementioned safety leadership and hourly employee roles and are rarely held accountable for expected behavioral performance in a timely and consistent fashion to make a substantial difference. Ultimately, the senior executives are responsible for both culture and performance in all facets of the business. This, too, is reality. Consultants Katzenbach and Aguirre, in a recent article on the CEO's responsibilities, write, "If you are the chief executive of a company that is sailing with the wind and leading in its competitive race, that's a sign that your culture is in sync with your strategy. This makes your company much more likely to deliver consistent and attractive profitability and growth results. However, if your company is heading into stormy waters, facing the kinds of disrupted competition or unexpected market changes that affect every industry sooner or later, then a program of normal reinforcing leadership won't cut it. A culture that no longer aligns with your strategic and performance priorities needs a lot more attention from you and the other senior leaders." Safety improvement is ultimately the responsibility of executive leadership. The cost of safety, e.g. injuries, insurance rates, damaged public image, production downtime, morale, employee disengagement, erodes shareholder value, and the value of safety, reliability, increase in quantity, employment satisfaction, attractive employer, creates customer value. This discussion should not be new to the senior leader, as it's reminiscent of the modern quality movement. Consider your organization. Forget platitudes, vision statements, and the desired reality. Who really owns safety? The business leaders or the safety professionals? The answer will both define why you are achieving your current results and provide insight into the ability to achieve breakthrough performance. Until next time, remember, in safety, prevention trumps reaction. For more information on safety culture excellence, or if you have a topic to suggest, please email us at podcast@proactsafety.com.